This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yep, it's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Because it's Christmas, we are disappointed because last week we mentioned about the items that we want to receive from you. And we gave a whole bunch of variety from the cheap items to some really expensive items that we were really hoping to get those. But have anyone contacted you
Ford? No, Ford hasn't been in touch to give me the new monster truck. I'm dead disappointed. Did you get your Sonos home system?
Nope, didn't get that. Didn't get my Surface Studio. Didn't even get one of those, 100 megapixel camera as well.
What is the point of being able to abuse your position on radio if no one is listening?
Terrible. Anyways, for those of you who are still listening, you can actually download the podcast and then you can list down those items. We will accept them even though it's past Christmas. By the time we receive these items, we will take it. Even if it's 2019, it's fine.
We'll do our best. I mean, we'll even take 2018 stock. I mean, we're really flexible on this
stuff.
We're
really flexible. Yeah. Today, we are doing sort of like the best of gadgets of the year, but not just gadgets, but like kind of like the technology stuff that we've seen throughout the year. So we decided to come up with some really cool categories. We're going to start off with tiny tech of the year. Matt, what is your tiny tech pick of the year?
Tiny tech of the year has to be gene research and DNA research. So we've had a lot of stories this year, and we've also talked about how cheap it is to do this kind of research.
Now, CRISPR.
You can buy RNA samples for as little as $10 or $20. Once you buy another kind of $30 worth of chemicals, you can actually start doing gene research in your garage.
Don't do that, though.
Well, no, but that's the whole point. And it turns out that a scientist in China was kind of doing that. Now, there was an announcement at the end of November that the world's first genetically modified baby had been born. So there's been an enormous outcry over this because a lot of people are saying it's unethical. We don't know what is going to happen. So it turns out that this doctor has worked with 7 couples. So this is just the first baby that has been born. He's modified the genes to make them less susceptible to contracting the HIV virus.
Wow. So
he says that he has noble aims, but a lot of people
he draws
saying,
the line himself. But
the whole point, we don't have a framework for this. We don't have a list of ethical norms. So there's been a lot of outcry about this. And of course, as we said, it's quite easy to do this kind of testing in your own garage. I mean, we had a case, I think, a couple of years ago of a guy who hacked his own DNA to try and increase his own muscle mass.
Yeah.
Now, since he did that, he has also come out and said, actually, it wasn't a really great idea, and I kind of wish I hadn't done it. Because, again, he doesn't know what the long-term effects of that are going to be. Yes, his muscles are getting bigger, but does that mean that it's going to reduce their life? Is he burning up the fuel or the muscle tissue much faster than the body can replenish?
There will be some effect at the end.
I think a lot more testing is required for this. So, that's my pick for this year. It's Tiny Tech is DNA.
Mine is something that we didn't actually mention because this only came out recently. MIT, they have announced a way of shrinking objects to a nano size scale. So this is size of like 1/1000th of a scale. So what they plan to do with this implosion fabrication is the method that they're calling this, is to insert tiny robots in pills.
Yeah, that's a really scary thing to call it, right? Implosion fabrication. When we talk about implosions, it's never accompanied by anything good, right? When you say, oh, that planet imploded, it doesn't mean that suddenly a lot of blossoms came up and everyone had a lovely morning.
Yeah, definitely the researchers at MIT need to think of a newer name because this doesn't sound like... Also, Arvin from our enterprise team was saying, like, this just sounds like a Muse album. You know, implosion fabrication just sounds like a Muse album. But you know what? At the end, I think they're doing quite amazing stuff in the biotech sphere, which we've seen throughout 2018 with DNA hacking and stuff, right? They're trying to, you know, release these small little robots in pills or in, you know, sort of injections that can then go and fight cancerous cells and only detect these cancerous cells and, you know, kind of like just killed off or cut the blood supply to these cancerous cells. And, you know, great stuff that's in the medical space that we've seen in 2018. And that is our tiny tech pick of 2018. Let's move up to something slightly bigger than tiny tech, small tech of the year.
Small tech. Well, I'm going with a Bluetooth device.
No. Oh, wow. No. Times have changed.
Yes, I'm going with wireless, truly wireless headphones. So for the last couple of years, we've seen the first kind of technology headphones that have no wires at all. So each phone has its own battery. Yeah. It's independent. And the technology is finally starting to come good, because for the first kind of the first few years of this, they weren't terribly fantastic. No. Yeah. So you would have things like your own head blocking the Bluetooth signal. So you would have dropouts. So if you had your phone in pocket on the left side, it would be hard for it to reach the earphone on the right hand side. But the technology does seem to have come on in leaps and bounds. So this year I've tested, I think, the AirPods from Apple. I decided to go with the AirPods because they work with the phone.
They're
fantastically
the easiest.
Well. They're the easiest. They're not the greatest quality wires. I've tested the Bose Sound Sports as well, which are really good. Don't quite have the functionality, but sound wise, they're a lot better. Mm. They look a bit weird because they stick out of your ears in a funny way. And you know, I've tried sort of various others of these technologies, and it really has come along. So I would suggest that it's worth buying these things now, especially as so many phones don't have a headphone jack anymore. Yeah. So you need a dongle to convert the headphones. So you don't have to have ugly Bluetooth phones that have a lead that kind of droops underneath your chin, like I was watching Richard Ware before we came on air. You can go with these kind of hands-free things. And the prices are coming down as well.
They're not too bad.
Yeah, the Apple and the Bose ones are still at the upper range, but you can get kind of decent working and sounding ones now for about sort of 300 ringgit, 400 ringgit, which is in the realm of those kind of reasonably priced headphones already.
So, I have one that's, I can't remember the brand now for the life of me. I can't really remember, but I bought one recently, which is also one of this EarPods kind of style. And they were great. And because sometimes it falls off from my ear because it doesn't quite fit in properly, they actually have like a wire that you can then, you know, attach to it. So it does, it doesn't come out. Yeah.
That's
which
one...
is the worry I have with the AirPods. Like I just feel
no, but
like.
They don't come out. That's the weirdest thing. I mean, even because like the Bose ones have these little things that fit into your ear to stop them coming out. Mm. But actually, the Apple ones are more sticky than than the Bose ones are. So it is phenomenal. You can jump up and down all over the place with them. And they just stay in.
I haven't tried that yet. Maybe I'll try it soon. My pick is drones. And DJI have actually come up with three drones this year that are really tiny. Like you can fit in the size of your hand and your palm. The smallest one, it's called the DJI Tello. It's a really fun mini drone that you can fly indoors. And it's more for like, you know, kids or if you just want to try out.
Does it have a camera?
It does have a camera. It's only 720p. So it's not like a full HD kind of thing.
It's only as good as the best technology you could get like 3 or 4 years ago in a tiny handheld drone.
And you can fly it for 13 minutes, which
is 1-3,
which is impressive for something that's really tiny.
No,
it's
and
so
the recharge
tiny.
Time?
It doesn't have like fast charging and stuff, so it still takes like about 3 hours. I think it's about an hour for a full recharge, but then I think you would just probably want to leave it on for longer. And then there's the Spark, which it kind of made waves because it is that drone that you throw it up in the air and then it just starts flying and following you around.
Oh yeah!
So like you must have seen this promotional,
really freaky.
I would never want to do this because it's probably going to be like 700 or 800 ringgit or probably even 1,000 ringgit for this. And I don't want to throw it. And if it fails, it just kind of...
No, but this is the kind of thing that you see in sci-fi movies, especially like military, like tech movies. They throw the drone up in the air.
Yeah.
And for that to be real, it's really weird.
Like
we were saying in MSP about like Twilight Zone, and we're kind of already there.
Mm. And my favorite is the Mavic Air, which is a travel-sized drone. I've been traveling a lot this year and I really wanted to get a drone, which is the Mavic Air. It's about 1,300, 1,500 ringgit. It comes with a 4K camera and it fits in the size of your palm. that for me. And it has like a three-axis gimbal, so it's like super steady shots that you could get. It just fits in the size of your palm. For me, that's just wow.
But my idea of a travel drone is one that can carry your luggage.
Oh,
that's what I would really want it to do if it was traveling with me.
We'll be right back. And when we come back, we will talk about big tech and really big tech of the year. BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous matters. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Let's move on to big tech of the year. Matt, what is your pick?
Well, my pick for big tech is big tech. So we're going to talk again about Facebook and Amazon and, you know, the big four tech companies. And, of course, the interesting fact that Apple slipped this year from being the world's biggest corporation, and the world's biggest corporation became Microsoft again, which nobody was kind of expecting. So Microsoft's kind of been under the radar for the last few years, but they've been doing some really interesting things. You know, they've been pushing their cloud services, they've been pushing into AI, but they've also been developing a really kind of nice peripherals and hardware division as well. So, you know, there's really, really nice Microsoft manufactured computers and desktops and all these other kind of gaming peripherals and whatever. So Microsoft's just kind of been quietly stealth advancing back into this position of power. But also we've had, you know, so many scandals rocking these big tech companies this year. Facebook, I mean, where do you even start with Facebook?
We could do
this
a whole
year?
Thing of like Facebook awards, like, you know, failed the Facebook areas that they failed or something like that, right?
Data, fake news, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Yeah. Even in terms of diversity, I mean, they had one of their managers resigned at the kind of middle of the year, and he put out a post about how Facebook was failing its workers of color and also, you know, people of color using the site. And Facebook then banned that post for contravening community standards. You know, so it's just piling on top of things. Amazon as well has been in the firing line this year. So it has not been well received, their Amazon 2 campaign to put a headquarters in different cities. Now, I didn't realize how many cities had actually put bids in. And it was over 200 US cities. Yeah. So they were calling it kind of a Game of Thrones type thing, or the Hunger Games. You know, they were pitting all of these cities against each other. And in the end, they went with kind of couple of locations, one of which is very close to Washington, D.C., which is where Jeff Bezos is very often based, and it's where the Washington Post also is, which Bezos owns. So Amazon is starting to get some of this kind of negative publicity as well. But we've seen it kind of, you know, we've seen kind of collapse in share price with these big companies. Yep. We've seen Apple being criticized for the incredible prices it's now charging for its devices, and the fact that, you know, if you keep increasing the prices, you may be making profits in the short term, but where is your growth going to come from in the long term, especially as we're seeing people take much longer to replace phones and gadgets like the iWatch. So the product cycles are getting much, much longer in terms of the consumer replacement cycle, rather. So everyone is kind of wondering where this kind of continued growth for Apple is going to come from. So we're seeing this kind of reduction in confidence from consumers. I think one Pew Research survey this year put confidence in Facebook at around 40%, which is, you know, about the same levels that people have in Donald Trump. So, you know, you can see what the parallels are kind of here. And also in terms of their share price, I mean, some of these companies have lost kind of 20% of their value over the last kind of 3 or 4 months, and they're still on this very, very rocky path. And I haven't even mentioned Twitter yet.
Oh.
And I'm not even going
to. Are they still alive?
They are. I mean, you know, Jack Dorsey was recently in Myanmar, and he said what a fantastic holiday was happening, and didn't even mention what's happening.
We spoke about this on MSP as well.
Last week. So my big tech for this year is the failure of big tech.
So my big tech of the year is autopilots for cars. I'm not just talking about Tesla, because because they are the ones who are championing this, and I think that is what it's called in a Tesla car, autopilot. But I was recently in San Francisco, and I made myself down to Silicon Valley and San Jose and Cupertino, and just looking around at the area, and there were so many other players in the field of autonomous vehicles that are trying it on the road. So Google is one of them. I saw a couple of Waymo vehicles that is a modified Hyundai, like a 7-seater, that is already on the road. I didn't manage to get a photo of it. I was trying to chase the car, but you know, you can't chase an autonomous vehicle. It just drives and it doesn't stop. But like for me, it just I just decided to take a step back, and right in front of me, I saw, you know, NASA's building, which is their business center, and I just realized, like, wow, these things that we're seeing on the road here is stuff of science fiction.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely amazing to see a car that without any driver inside, just driving around, and you could, you know, for Google, you could try out Waymo in Google's campus itself. And, you know, you download the app and you can try it out. It's only for selected people and in and around of the campus, but it actually works. The only thing that's stopping them is just the laws of the road itself.
Yeah, legislation.
The legislation is an issue. I was in Sweden as well, and you know, they were talking about autonomous trucks, and they have trucks that could drive itself, which sat on it.
No, Volvo's technology for autonomous trucks is quite incredible. And not just the individual trucks, but truck trains.
Yeah.
Right.
So that one driver's like four trucks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you've got one driver and then you've got like a whole line of just robot vehicles behind you. And also, I think Volvo is also working on a similar kind of technology for cars where you could have essentially road trains where one car pilots a huge line of other cars as you go up and you peel off at your destination.
Yeah.
But as a way of traffic management. So allowing cars to go at a much faster average speed because you don't have people cutting in front anymore.
Yeah.
Every car is operating in unison.
Yeah. So the problem that we have is, again, you know, legislation. And you know, one of the things that Volvo spokesperson told me about was when they were doing this trial run in and around Europe and Scandinavia, Northern Europe and Scandinavia, every country just has a different set of standards when it comes to safety of, you know, how far do you stay away from the car in front of you. So some countries would say like, oh, you know, it's like 3 seconds, but some will measure in centimeters or meters, and then some will just say like it's just whatever that's deemed safe. There's no exact measurable
and that's one of the things that comes back to the AI behind it as well. I mean, one of the shows we did last year, we were talking about one of the failures with autonomous cars is our ability to break down the complex steps that are involved in things. So when you come to a stop sign, there are actually quite a lot of brain processes that go on. So what we can't do is explain to a machine how to break those processes down. So as a result, machines don't recognize a stop sign in the way that humans do. So we can only mark on a map that a machine is supposed to stop there. Or the machine looks at data sets and says, all the other cars stop there, therefore there must be a stop sign there.
Yeah.
But that's quite dangerous when you have, for example, railway lines that are infrequently used, because the machine is not necessarily going to recognize the fact that it should stop there and have a look, especially for these kind of unmanned and unmarked crossings.
Yeah. But you know what? Autopilot for me is the real thing. It's the tech of of the year.
It's
amazing to see it happening. Yeah. I've sat in one truck and two cars that is completely autonomous, and it's not interesting for me to like Insta story or do a video stuff because it's really boring being in these vehicles, but it was fascinating for the get-go itself. So that's my pick. Let's move on to our really big tech of the year.
Yeah, well, I'm going with a really big hole for my really big tech of the year. This week, Elon Musk announced the launch of the Hyperloop's first test tunnel. So the media were invited to come and see it. Obviously, Jeff and I weren't, unfortunately, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time, Elon.
But one of the things that I liked a lot about this is we kind of saw a more honest version of Elon Musk. So he quite honestly said, you know, he doesn't know if this is going to be the future of technology. It's just a test. They want to see what will happen. He says it's quite incredible that people keep coming to him and offering him money to invest in these things because he says he hasn't shown the kind of financial projections to anyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really is guesswork when it comes to it. But whether or not the kind of Hyperloop is going to be the future of the technology, the boring machine itself, I think, is something that we kind of overlook because we just think about it as being this kind of tunneling machine. Mm. Now, at the moment, it's just kind of in phase one, but they're envisaging like a second and third generation of these machines. Now, the third generation of this machine will not only make the tunnel, it will pull out the earth automatically and erect the concrete walls wow. around the tunnel. So that's for me why this is my really
yeah,
big tech,
yeah.
because this will make it much easier to do all kinds of tunneling. I mean, when we look at kind of the way that cities are spreading, we're going to need this subterranean tunneling, not just for doing things like extending public transport systems, but also for sewers and electrical cables and all this kind of thing. And tunneling under very highly populated cities is fraught with a lot of risk. I mean, you look at the MRT extension in Singapore, and there were a couple of collapses in the tunnels there. So this kind of technology would help to make it faster, cheaper, safer, and stronger. So, yeah, I'm very much in line with Musk's vision for this one. But yes, it's not the Hyperloop that's getting me excited. It is the boring machine itself.
The boring company. I love the name, by the way. My pick for really big tech of the year doesn't even come from us humans. It's probably alien. It's the Oumuamua, that big spaceship or something.
Yeah, I love the name. It sounds like a Pink Floyd song. I think there is a Pink Floyd song that's named after.
Yeah. So it's named after a Hawaiian word that's meaning a scout or messenger from the past. And it's quite appropriate. I think the name is quite spot on. But the thing is, though, we have until today no idea what it is because it's not a comet. It doesn't, you know, fly around in like this.
Yeah,
the shape of
the
a comet.
Yeah.
We have no idea. And we will never have any idea what it is as well, despite it moving. Apparently, this is moving quite slow, but I found out from a stat it's moving at about 95,000 kilometers an hour.
Yes. Yeah. Slow is relative when you get into a vacuum, right?
It is, yeah. So it is actually moving away to back into deep space as we speak at the moment. But, you know, for something like that to, you know, just appear in our solar system and then slowly kind of just like, you know, just kind of hovering around, and it's probably studying us. Of all, you know, it may be poo from aliens, but even, you know what? Their poo is the most advanced tech that we have ever seen.
Probably, yeah.
Ever, exactly. Because we can't travel to the deep space or to interstellar, but they have. So my pick for really big tech of the year is the Oumuamua. Really good stuff.
I'm not even going to try and say it.
I'm surprised I could actually say it. Let's go with Geek Tunes. It's Christmas time of the year. Matt, what do we have?
It is Christmas. Now, sometimes we forget some of the individuals around us. We don't celebrate them so much for Christmas. So this is a song that celebrates those individuals. This is the Eels with Christmas is Going to the Dogs.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.